that in on several occasions. We would like to give each one of you a bookmarker that you will find on the back book table. It's also a ruler, but it's not large enough to measure the peace and love that we bring to you. You will find the word peace in many languages, in English, of course, Romanian, French, Spanish, Ukrainian, German, Polish, and Hebrew. So we hope you'll take this bookmarker that's on the back table. And also you will find some convention programs for the convention just 1 month from now, November the 18th through the 23rd. And we'd like to invite as many as possible to attend that. Ruth and David send their greetings to the brethren here. The lesson, as has been announced, is the greatest marriage. We like to use illustrations, and in this way you will remember the lesson better. We're going to let this plant that you see here represent the first marriage. And these beautiful flowers are going to represent the second marriage that we're going to consider. These will represent the third marriage that we're going to consider. And finally, this will represent the greatest marriage. Now, let us note that this first marriage took place on the first day. This marriage on the third day from the first marriage. And this particular marriage on the fifth day, and the greatest marriage on the seventh day. Let us see where this is located on the chart of the ages. The first marriage is shown here on the chart. That was the marriage of Adam and Eve. And the second marriage that we're going to consider was on the 3,000-year day from the first marriage. This pyramid represents Abraham, and you remember that Abraham's son was Isaac, and his bride was Rebekah. So that marriage was on the 3,000-year day from the first marriage. And then we go over to the next marriage. We see the perfect pyramid representing Jesus at this point. And remember that Jesus was invited to a particular marriage. It was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And then we come to the next marriage, which is the greatest marriage. And this greatest marriage is shown at this point on the chart. You notice the greatest marriage takes place early in the morning of the Messianic age. And it's early in the morning of the third dispensation. This marriage, the greatest marriage shown here on the chart, is the marriage of the bridegroom, our Lord, to the bride. We trust that something that will be said at this service at this time will make it possible for us to be at the greatest marriage. Let us read about this in Revelation, the 19th chapter. If you will open your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation 19, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Something that we may do today may make it possible for us to be at the greatest marriage. Do you want to be there? Do you want to be a part of that general assembly and church of the firstborn? Do you wish to become the bride of Christ? If so, we will do everything possible each day to make our calling and election sure. Now let us go back to the first marriage, the marriage of Adam and Eve. What was the purpose of the first marriage? The purpose of the first marriage was to bring forth children. And these children were to fill the earth. Had Adam remained obedient, he would have brought forth a perfect race. No children were born to Adam and Eve until after they had disobeyed. All of their children were brought forth in sin and shapen in iniquity. And so we see this broad way here on the chart of the ages. Do you know what the population of Earth was a little over 100 years ago, which would have been over 6,000 years from the time of Adam and Eve? The population then was about 1.5 billion. Are you aware of the fact that in a little over 100 years, the population is more than 4 times, or approximately 4 times, what it was when the Divine Plan of the Ages was originally published in 1886? It is predicted that if things continued at the present rate of increase, by the year 2050, the population would be approximately 12 billion. Now, the purpose of the first marriage was to fill the earth. And we believe the signs of the time indicate that this earth has almost been sufficiently filled, because there will be room for the billions who are asleep in death to come forth in due time. There will not be one person too many here upon the earth by the close of the Messianic age. No, just the right number will be there to fill this earth. So briefly, we have seen then the purpose of the first marriage was to fill the earth. The purpose of the greatest marriage, the marriage of the bride to the bridegroom, is to fill the earth with the regenerated race of Adam. What a wonderful privilege is held out to the bride and the bridegroom. Now, let us go to this second marriage shown here by these beautiful flowers. That was the marriage of Isaac to Rebekah. When did this marriage occur? This was on the third 1,000-year day from the first marriage. That didn't happen by chance. Our Heavenly Father is an exact timekeeper. Everything happens exactly on time. And so our Heavenly Father used this beautiful picture of the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah to portray the marriage of His only begotten Son to those selected during the Gospel Age. Now let us turn to Genesis pertaining to this marriage of Isaac and Rebekah. And let us note that it occurred after the death of Sarah. Does that mean anything to us? Yes. The new creation selected during the gospel age is being developed under the Sarah feature of the Abrahamic covenant. The time will come in which this covenant will cease to exist. Sarah died. And then Isaac and Rebekah were united in marriage. This door to the high calling is still open at the present time. So the Sarah feature of the Abrahamic covenant is still in operation. Let us briefly note that Abraham sent his servant to select a bride for his son. As we read in Genesis 24, verse 4, Abraham said to the servant, "Thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Let us note that this was on the 3,000-year day from Adam and Eve. Now, it was a long journey. And this pictures the long journey of the church in the narrow way during the gospel age. We're almost to the end of that journey. It won't be long until the marriage of the bride to the bridegroom. Now, when the servant of Abraham had reached Abraham's kindred, he found Rebekah willing to return with him to become the bride of a man she had never seen. We do not know what our Lord is like, but John assures us, even though it does not yet appear what we shall be, we know that when he shall appear, we, the fully consecrated who are faithful unto death, shall see him as he is. That's our hope. Rebekah was so willing to give the servant of Abraham water to drink and also to water his camels. Through the operation of the Holy Spirit during the gospel age, those who are hungry and thirsty for truth and righteousness may be invited to become the bride of Christ. Now, after some discussion with the family, it was agreed that Rebekah should go with the servant. But then came the test. Her family asked her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" What was her response? "I will go." She started on this journey to become the bride of a man she had never seen. During the gospel age, some enter this narrow way. After making a full consecration, they are begotten of the Spirit to the divine nature. It's a long journey, it's a narrow way, it's a difficult way. Finally, at evening time, the servant of Abraham and Rebekah, along with the others in the group, reached the place where Isaac was. It was evening time, suggesting that in the evening of the gospel age, which work overlaps the incoming messianic age, is the time of our Lord's second presence. A man is in the field. The field represents the world. And this pyramid represents our Lord return to Earth's atmosphere. Why has He returned? He says, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Our Lord has returned for us. It's evening time. It's the evening of the gospel age. The day is almost at an end. Now, when Rebecca asked, who is the man? She was informed that it was Isaac. What did she do? She took a veil and covered herself. And so, we are represented here by this topless pyramid S. On this side of the veil, operating in this earthen vessel, this new man, waiting for our change. And soon we hope to pass under that second veil into the Most Holy. Our Lord is here for us. But we first must make our calling and election sure. Now, let us go back just a little bit before Rebecca started on this journey. Her family said to her, be thou the mother of thousands of millions. The work of the bride and the bridegroom after the greatest marriage will be the work of regenerating all the willing and obedient of Adam's race as they walk up that highway of holiness. Let us next turn to John, the second chapter, the Gospel of John, and read the first two verses. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. We emphasize again that this third day of the marriage in Cana of Galilee was the third thousand-year day from the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah. Parts of 3 days. We notice that Jesus was called to this marriage. Jesus did not take it unto himself to become the bridegroom. He was invited. We note in the account that the disciples of Jesus were also called to this marriage. Did we invite ourselves? No. First we were drawn by the Father to Jesus. And then after we accepted Jesus, we saw the necessity of a consecration to righteous living. Finally, because we were willing to give the truth to others, to dispense the truth on every suitable opportunity, then we were called in the one hope of our calling. We were called to become sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. We said, I will go. That's consecration. Consecration is to do the will of the Heavenly Father. Not my will, but thine be done. And this means that then, thereafter, we will be serving the truth to all with a hearing ear. That's the Rebecca class. Willing to draw water for others. Laying down our lives in dispensing this precious truth. Yes, Jesus was called, and so are his disciples. And this was shown in this marriage in Cana of Galilee on the third day. Now we come down to the third thousand-year day, down to the marriage of the bride to the bridegroom. Note, it's still early in the morning of the millennial age. And remember that none of Adam's children can begin to be regenerated until after this marriage. The highway of holiness cannot be opened until after the marriage takes place. Individual restitution cannot begin until the highway of holiness is open, which leads from death up to life. However, restitution has its beginning when our Lord returned for this purpose. What was the purpose of the first marriage? To fill the earth. And so our Lord returns to receive His bride. And after the marriage, then will come the work of regeneration. And so appropriately, Peter says in Acts 3:19-21, that the heaven would retain our Lord until it was time for His day to begin. His day, the Lord's day, the times of restitution, the resurrection age, the messianic age, the millennial age. Yes, it's time for this to begin. Our Lord is in the field as a glorious divine spirit being. But remember, there's still the veil separating us from our bridegroom. Now, as we have seen, and as we know to be a fact, there are some of the consecrated still on this side of the veil. What are we to do on this side of the veil? Why didn't our Heavenly Father wait to send His Son to earth the second time until all of the church was complete? There's a reason for that. I think as Bible students, all of us realize that prophecies have a fulfillment at a certain time. And if not now, then when? What is the work being accomplished by the ones on this side of the veil? Notice they're separated from Babylon. They're on their way to meet the bridegroom. Rebecca was on her way. But remember, she covered herself with a veil when she saw our Lord. And now we see our Lord is present. We don't know what He looks like. We don't know what a spirit being is like. But we know, we have the hope that if we're faithful, we'll be like Him and see Him as He is, a glorious divine spirit being. So there's something for us to do. That's the reason why the church wasn't complete before our Lord returned. It was the Heavenly Father's plan for feet members to still be here on this side of the veil. Now, we note that the heel is a part of the foot. We're way down on the stream of time. Over 100 years since our Lord returned. So we're down now to the heel members. This prophecy is being fulfilled about the heel members. But a part that needs to be considered is Isaiah 52, verse 7. And there the prophet Isaiah says that these feet members, these represented by the S-class, separated from Babylon, the fully consecrated, are beautiful. Beautiful in the sight of the Heavenly Father. How beautiful upon the mountains, the kingdoms, are the feet of Him that are bringing good tidings. Do we have any good tidings to bring to others? Are we dispensing this water of life to all who have a hearing ear? It's such a joy to do so. To find one here and one there with a hearing ear. Not any large number at the present time, but each one is precious when he or she is found. I would estimate that during the past year, in the parts of the world that we know about, there have probably been 100 more or less who have symbolized their consecration. Now, at first thought, this seems like a large number, but it really isn't. This summer in Poland, there were approximately 30 brethren who symbolized their consecration, and we heard that there were 8 in Ukraine, and we know of 2 in Moldova, and close to 20 more or less in Romania. And then in Canada, just recently, there were 4 who were baptized, and 2 a couple of weeks ago at Bellingham, and at various places, some in India have symbolized their consecration. But if we added all these together, 100 more or less, that's not very many, is it? And we remember that these must be tested. If they have made a full acceptable consecration, then they have entered this narrow way and must be tested before they can receive the divine nature. This tells us that this work is coming to a close with so few now being invited. No one will be invited unless there is an opening. But if there is an opening, one will know it. One will know if he has been called, as Jesus and his disciples were called to that marriage, and if he responds by making a full consecration, if he responds by saying, I will go, then he reaches plane M, the plane of spirit begettal. And of course, now, in this harvest of the gospel age, he is shown here as separated from Babylon. So these feet members have this work of bringing good tidings, of finding the one here and the one there, yet to replace someone previously called and accepted, but because of carelessness had to be replaced. And furthermore, we're to bring good tidings of good, to publish salvation, and we're to say unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Now, as we mentioned, we realize that this prophecy at some time or other must be fulfilled. If not now, then when? And remember that this takes place before the marriage. The feet members are here to proclaim the reign of Christ begun. The feet members are here to proclaim his presence. He has returned to receive his bride. And so that's our privilege of saying unto Zion, the reign of Christ begun. Now, as we mentioned, we're down now to the heel members. And we know this because of the intense opposition of the adversary. He is opposing each one of us in this room. He is trying to endeavor to cause us to give up our hope. He would like to stop the completion of this promised seed, because he knows that this promised seed is going to crush out evil, and eventually he himself will be destroyed. He would like to stop the completion of this promised seed. This explains why that there has been so much opposition during the last several years amongst the Lord's people. The adversary is opposing us. But we have the responsibility of resisting the devil, and he will flee from us. And so, you see, we believe that this prophecy is being fulfilled. The heel members, a part of the feet, who are proclaiming unto Zion, the reign of Christ begun, and proclaiming that soon the marriage will take place. As soon as we pass under the second veil, the last member, then the full union will occur. Now, we note that this pyramid shows or represents the marriage in point of time. You see, it's before the highway of holiness opens that this marriage occurs. Now, in the completed picture here on the chart, we have this completed pyramid, but this top part represents the Christ, the same as the Christ represented here by the marriage. And we note that after the marriage, there will be a marriage supper, marriage festivities. Who will be there at the marriage supper in addition to the bride and the bridegroom? The virgins, her companions who follow. And they will be a part of the general assembly and church of the firstborn. And eventually this kingdom will grow and grow until it will be complete. By evening time, it will have filled the whole earth. Then, at the end of the 1,000 years, not at the beginning, but at the end, it will be perfect. It will be like. You remember the scripture in Zechariah 14, 6 and 7. It shall be a day known unto the Lord. That's the millennial day, the messianic age, the 1,000-year day of our Lord's presence. A day not completely light nor completely dark, but at evening time, at the close of this day, it will be perfect. Won't that be wonderful? We want to be a part of that kingdom. If we have accepted this invitation, and if we make our calling election sure, we'll be here in the spiritual phase of the kingdom, partakers of the divine nature. But those who will be before the throne, the great company, the foolish virgins, will also assist in the work of blessing all the families of the earth. It's going to be a gigantic work of restoring all the willing and obedient of Adam's race back to human perfection. And not only on that plane will there be this great company of foolish virgins, but there will be also the holy angels who have always been obedient to the Father. In addition, there will be those fallen angels who have repented, and as Ephesians 1:10 brings our attention, brought under the headship of Christ. You see, all things in heaven and in earth will be brought under the headship of Christ. And this work of building the pyramid, the kingdom, takes 1,000 years. And this 1,000-year kingdom began its work when our Lord returned in 1874 to receive His bride. And now, since our Lord's return, it's time for kingdom work to be done. And so, therefore, we appropriately read in Revelation 14:13, that when we die, when we finish our earthly course faithfully unto death, this same kingdom work continues on the other side without the laborious efforts. Our Lord, through the Revelator, said, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth." And the henceforth there would be the year 1878. You see, prior to 1878, the saints, upon finishing their earthly course, fell asleep in death because it was not time to establish this kingdom. There was nothing for them to do beyond death until our Lord returned with the kingdom. And so now it's a blessing to die, which it was not a blessing prior to 1878 for the Lord's consecrated saints. But now, when we die, we don't have to sleep, but are changed, 1 Corinthians 15, 51-53, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sounding of the last trump, which sounds for 1,000 years throughout the Messianic age. It has begun to sound. And so the feet members, now the heel members, are saying unto Zion that the reign of Christ has begun. Now, the ones on the other side of the veil are shown here with our Lord, and they're doing kingdom work without the laborious efforts. Has anything been accomplished within the last 100 years? Well, what hasn't been accomplished other than the awakening of the dead world of mankind? So much has been progressing just in my lifetime. Do you know when the electric light was invented? In 1878. And you know, the electric light has changed night into day. We're in the new day, in the dawning of this 1,000-year day. And of course, just in my lifetime, I have witnessed the restoration of Israel as a nation among the nations. And then in 1969, was it? Or I think that was the year that the brethren here in Huntsville can tell us, because this is a space center, when man first set foot upon the moon. And, you know, because the laws of the universe are so exact, because our Heavenly Father is such a great exact timekeeper, man could go to the moon and return. And now, they're exploring further and further into the universe. The computer was elected by Time magazine as the man of the year not too many years ago. See, so much has happened. It's because our Lord is present. There's a man in the field. He has returned for us. But first, we've got a work to do, and that work is to say unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. May we be faithful and be there at the greatest marriage on the 3,000-year day from the marriage in Cana of Galilee.
Thank you, Brother George. Brother George has chosen for his closing hymn this evening, page 289, The Glorious Day.
Precious, loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy most holy name. In the name of Jesus, our Advocate, we approach Thy throne of grace. We thank Thee for the privilege of coming to Thee and calling Thee our Father. We thank Thee for the privileges of the narrow way. We thank Thee for Your grace and strength for each experience while walking in the footsteps of our dear Redeemer. We pray Your blessing upon all of those who are walking in the footsteps of the Master. And to this end, we pray that we might have more wisdom and more of your Holy Spirit. We thank thee for the privileges of the harvest and pray your blessing upon the general interest of the harvest work, and particularly the share which you have given to each one of us. May we be faithful in proclaiming the reign of our Lord begun. And we, to this end, continue to pray for this incoming kingdom and for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We realize our many shortcomings and our imperfections, and so we ask forgiveness for anything done or said amiss. We leave ourselves now in thy care and keeping. We pray in Jesus' dear name. Amen.